This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use, where we hand out wisdom like your grandmother's Sunday casserole. A little spicy, plenty to go around, and always meant to nourish. I'm Levi, and I kind of am a recovering ADD, multitasking, a little bit too chatty at times feller. And ironically, today's episode is all about something that doesn't meet any of those criteria of who I am.
Oh, okay. Silence is the topic?
Exactly. Okay. That terrifying space where no one's talking, nothing is buzzing, no music is in your ears. You're just hearing your own thoughts. And it's basically, it's a scary place.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, scary for me too, man. It's like a horror flick. Today, I think, though, that we're going to be redeeming that space, the idea of silence. We're going to dive into solitude, not loneliness, not punishment, but the idea of biblical solitude, the kind that Jesus practiced and the kind our souls are maybe hungry for.
Yeah, I think we as people are maybe... It's like we're just nervous about this whole idea of silence. Like if you have a moment at a bus stop, I don't know, you probably don't take buses. I don't take buses either. Maybe a plane.
I haven't. I mean, yeah. Unless I'm traveling in a different country. A train or an
automobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a movie,
right? I got that. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just noise always, right? You're in a hurry to do this. You're in a hurry to do that. You got to go home, cook supper. You have kids yapping at you. There's music playing on the radio when you go into wherever you're going into. There's 87 unread messages.
That's not even from, like, the group chats.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about the quiet that changes everything. It might just be one of those disciplines. It's not actually a prescribed discipline. It's a described discipline in the scripture, but it is, if you look at it, it's one of the things that a lot of people practiced in the scriptures, and it often is the moment where God meets them in the solitude, in the quiet. And I think when we talk about it, I think people think monks. I don't know,
right?
Like, just, you know, vow of silence. There's a monk, he went into a vow of silence, and he could, for every year, he got one word. And so he was there, and he waited 2 years, and he said, food bad. That was his two words. And then he waited another 2 years, and he said, bad, hard. Then he waited another 2 years, and he said to, like, the head monk guy, I quit. And the head monk guy goes, well, I kind of figured you're going to. All you do is complain.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think, though, that the idea of solitude is really, really foreign to us. It's not something that, like, we're surrounded at every moment with all the things. I mean, you just listed off things that surround our conscience, our thoughts, our relationships. We fill every moment and with noise. And even some of those machines, like the noise that we add is supposed to help us find the peace that we're looking for, right? Like noise machines for sleep, or, you know, quiet musical meditations for sleep, these kinds of things. Noise, we add noise when what perhaps we need is solitude and silence.
I don't think you should be knocking the white noise machines. They kind of saved me and Jen as our kids. We would put that on and it would just, I don't know if it lured them to sleep or it drowned their cries out. Okay. One of the two happened there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I suppose we've trained ourselves and even our kids to avoid silence. But I think that's where we get it wrong, right? Biblical solitude is not about tuning out. It's actually about intentionally tuning in. It's not about absence, but it's about presence.
Yeah, and that presence is God. And I think the definition in the Bible, as you track through it, again, it's not, there's not a Bible passage that says go into solitude, but you see everyone going into solitude. So biblical solitude is really this intentional, temporary absence of human activity in order to more fully know God.
Well, yeah, that's really hard for me. You might be recovering all those things, or maybe not. But for me, I fill all the things, and it's then busyness becomes what I do, and I don't look at solitude as something that is life giving, or I haven't in the past, I suppose. But really, it is actually a grace, and we treat it though like it's punishment sometimes. Oh, I have to go sit here and reflect on what I've done for 5 hours, and what's going to, it sounds so weird. But God says, come here, let's have a conversation, sit down so that you can know who I am. It's an invitation to his presence.
Yeah, and it's this really cool pattern within the scriptures.
Yeah, I think we see Moses spent 40 days with God on a mountain, right? That happened in Deuteronomy. And he wasn't multitasking. He wasn't posting updates. It was just him and God having a conversation.
And do you remember why he was there?
Yeah, right? He was waiting to hear the word of God.
Well, yeah, because the people were down there worshiping a calf.
Yeah.
And he was like on his face going, God, don't wipe them out because they're like worshiping other gods. And he was actually doing the solitude thing wasn't just for him. It was for other people that he would hear the voice of God.
Yeah, that's really good.
And then you have like Elijah.
Oh, I like that one. I like Elijah.
That's a great story in 1 Kings. And he gets to this place where he is basically rains down fire from heaven. It burns up the offering. And like he is scared of this little queen named Jezebel.
She was a force.
Yeah, she's mean. Like if I called you Jezebel, that wouldn't be a nice thing, right?
No, that wouldn't be nice.
But he goes and he runs off, and he doesn't hear God in like this loud voice. He doesn't hear him in the fire, he doesn't hear him in the earthquake, but he hears him in this just whisper. When he's all by himself in solitude.
Yeah, and then there's Paul, right? After his conversion, right? Which was a noisy conversion, right? He's like traveling down the road, gets knocked off a horse. He then like falls off the map for a few years. He disappears and he's like off in the Arabian desert, you know, listening to God. It's not like he had a lot of words. Well, maybe he had a lot of words for God, but like, you don't write most of the New Testament without some silence first.
Well, he even started in silence, right? Because he was like blinded.
Right.
And he could do nothing. He says that he didn't eat anything, really. But I think he had some bread or something like that. But he was just silent. He was just there and kind of just going, what just happened? Like, where have I been going in my life? What do I need to hear from God? And he had already heard the voice of God. And he was sitting there, I think, waiting again to be restored and to really hear from God. And then you have Jesus, like the greatest human of all time, fully God, fully man, but limited himself to being human, taking on flesh, and you see all the time what he says. He's like, hey, guys, we got to go. We got to go. We got to get away from these people. We got to get away from the noise. And he didn't even have a cell phone. It's just people around him all the time. He's like, we just got to get away, right? And you see it in Mark. You see it in Luke. You see it in Matthew. And the list goes on and on. And if you think about this, if the Son of God, who took on flesh for us, needed solitude to connect with his Father, just maybe. Just maybe. We do too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you know, I love Dallas Willard. He was a great thinker, theologian, philosopher. And he said something really interesting. He said, silence is really frightening because it strips us. it throws us upon the stark realities of our life. It's when we are alone with our thoughts, that's really all we have. And often for me, I think it turns to darkness, actually.
Yeah. I think when we're alone and we're listening for the voice of God, that changes things.
Yeah.
But I think when it's not just being alone to be alone, I think the biblical model, it's really being absent from the busyness of humans. But it's still like you're kind of naked there. Like there's correction. There's a possibility of correction. That's not what he always does. There's also like you're there with the most powerful thing that is other than us, and you're sitting there. And I think that's just a little bit frightening. And I think one of the things that we do is we hide behind our calendars. We hide behind our busyness. We hide behind our playlists. We hide behind our productivity. We hide behind our cell phones. And you, in that moment, come face to face with what's real, your fears, your longings, and the thing that I think most of us don't like is our real need for God, because all of us want to, our struggle is with autonomy. We want to be separate. We want to be our own little gods. And when you're in that solitude with God, you are just recognize the need for him.
Yeah, I think if we're honest and really listening, we lose control. And we were required then to give it to the one who has control. Anyways, you know, I really like Psalm 46:10. It's actually a verse that I grew up thinking about because it's my dad's favorite verse. And it's this idea, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And the idea of stillness actually means to stop striving or working or fighting for control, like stop fixing and just let God be God.
Yeah, and that is set, that verse is set when Israel is in the middle of the of this war, and that verse goes on and says that, like, hey, I'm the one who's in control of nations, I'm the one who's in control of all this stuff, and it's like these reminders. And I wonder, like, was it for those who were fighting too? Like, hey, quit this silliness, quit fighting, because I'm God and I've got this, I'm going to take it. And was it also for Israel, like, hey, I got this. Like, I just have this. Like, just be still and know that I'm the one in control. I'm the one who is able to fix this. I'm the one who is God. And I think that that verse, it's not passive. There's an action that's happening in there. There's a releasing that's happening there. It's saying, I'm not in charge here. And that's really good news that we're not in charge, that God is actually in charge. I remember I used to lead trips in the wilderness, and one of the activities on like day three after we had been there a while is I would take kids and I would put them, or students, college students, onto an island for about 4 hours. We had a day of solitude, and a chunk of it was 4 hours. And there was this kid named Kent. And he was like a computer, like kind of super freak. Like he was really good. I think that's what he does for a living now. This is a long time ago. But we were sitting there, and I'd had other leaders with me, and we'd all come back to the same island, find a spot where we could be in solitude. But we heard this, "Help, help, help." And I was like, oh my goodness, right?
Right.
And so I paddle over there as quickly as I can because I'm responsible. This kid's like, at this time, it's probably a junior in high school, something like that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, his mom's going to, she's going to smack me, right? I get there and he tries to grab my canoe. And he's like, I can't handle this. I can't be by myself like this. He was just going crazy in that. But by the end of the trip, I paddled back out. I got away from him and said, "You're just staying here." And I just made him sit there. He stopped yelling help because he knew nobody was coming for him. And he just sat there with God. And he said that was the most meaningful time that he's ever had with God, where he just could open his Bible. They had a Bible, they had water with them, and they had a cushion they could sit on. And they could explore the island if they wanted to. There's lots of things that they could do in that 4 hours. But he said it was like one of the most meaningful times that he's ever had, just being still And he's like, I just felt the presence of God.
Yeah, so I think the question that we ask, right, when we come to these things is like, how do we do it? You know, how do we actually, I mean, without someone forcing us to sit on an island by ourselves, like, how is it that we do it?
Hey, you want to go camping?
Right, no, no, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, I think that's the question. How do we do it? If it's so good for us, if what we need is the presence of God, but we're sort of on the run from it because of all the noise, or it, or the noise of the world, clouds, the reality of the presence of God. What do we do about it?
Yeah, I think everyone asks that question, is how do we do this without becoming a monk? You know, how do you do this when you have little kids at your house?
Yeah.
How do you do this in, when you have a job, you know, and you're not, you know, a kid that has been put on an island? Right. Like, how do you do right. this? And
I'm not asking for that for professional development, just by the way.
Okay. I think there's some really simple ways that we can do it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think minimally we start small, right? There's like the daily practice of solitude. It doesn't look like being out on an island for 4 hours, but it might look like 5 to 10 minutes just in the morning, or maybe before you go to bed, or yeah, at lunch, 5 to 10 minutes of intentionally directing your heart towards God.
Yeah, I just shut everything off yesterday. And I actually set a timer. Yeah. Because I knew that I would be distracted by time. Because I have a love-hate relationship with time. I am never late for really anything. And so I'm very conscious of time. I'm very maybe American about that. And there's just this struggle that I knew I would have if I didn't set a timer. And so for me, I set an Alexa timer and I knew it would go off when that 10 minutes was up, but I just sat. I didn't read anything. I didn't make any list. I just sat there. I didn't even pray. I just sat there for the first couple of minutes and then the prayer started happening. But I will tell you, it was like that first few minutes was like really hard, like really torturous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I have done that before, at least for moments at a time, short moments of solitude are different for me. I think I could say that I practice that pretty regularly, but it's the longer intentional listening to God that we might call like a retreat. You know, like a half a day or a weekend or just a few hours once a month. Like that's a different, it can be really awkward. I mean, I recently started this practice and it's been a really beautiful thing, but kind of a strain. It's really strange. I turn off my phone. I also turn on a timer and I'm like, you will sit here for 3 hours.
It's like your time out with God, but in a good way. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to like, sit it's here. Like you're forcing yourself to do it. And it, yep. I think that's part of the difficulty of it is that we go, man, we're not being productive.
Yeah.
But I think it can be one of the most productive spiritual things that you can actually do. And it's not, it's just going, you know what, God, you are who you are. And I am who I am. You are God and I am not. And I think it really forces us to be still and know that he is God. And I mean, if you really wanted to try this, you could do the 10-minute thing. And I think that'll be hard. But I don't really, and when I practice this, nothing really happens for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think I timed it when you told me that, and it was 38 minutes.
38 minutes for you. You're just a little bit slow.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ever encouraging.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I think that, like, if you said, hey, I'm going to really sit here till the Lord speaks, till I hear his voice, and I'm not talking audible, just like you will sense the presence of God if you just sit there and you just open yourself up. You become really naked before the Lord in a way that you probably don't really do. It is an incredible experience and it's really, really difficult. And you will have shopping lists in your head. You'll be thinking about all of the things you're supposed to do. In all of that stuff, it has to get kind of weeded out. And then it becomes really quiet. And it's really kind of eerie for a little bit. And then it happens. And that's my experience with it.
Yeah, that's very similar to my experience as well. First, I start making lists of all the things I'm not doing. And then I'm like, okay, you wrote your list, now put it aside. And then after I work through all the things that I could be doing, that I'm not doing, that I didn't do yesterday, or I needed all the stuff, it took about 38 minutes. But then Jesus really did show up. And it has been a really beautiful practice in listening to what God has for me. And it's changed the way that I, like, it's changed the tone of my home. On the weeks that I have done this, it has changed the tone of my home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I try to do this once a quarter where I go away, and not all of the time is spent in solitude like this, but there's a chunk of it that is. And sometimes when I'm there, I just will read a big chunk of scripture even before I enter in, or I read theology books, and I do that just because I want to know the nature of who God is. And I usually don't read things about like sin and things like that. I read really about like, who is God? Like, what are his attributes? What are the things that I go, man, you are good. And that has really helped shape that time for me to really just settle in. And my thoughts are like, I've already fed my mind enough, and I feel like it quickens the process a little bit for me to go, okay, yep, I'm not God. You are God, and I will be still, and I will listen. Because I think one of the things that is really hard for people, just even relationally, you know, we can't see God, but we can see other people. But how many people would say, yeah, I'm a great listener?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not many, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about the rebuttal. You're thinking about the statement. You're thinking. But just to sit and just to listen and listen for the voice of God is really a powerful practice. I think that is something that can be spurred on by scripture, can be spurred on by other things, but just to be quiet before the Lord.
Well, yeah, I think, not just long periods of time too. We can take those times in the moment, in the morning or the evening, like intentionally. And we can do retreats as well, longer periods of time. But also for me, when I find myself, what we've been talking about on Sundays really is abiding in Jesus and what it looks like to have him to live with, to move in, I think is what the series started, and to live in his home and be with him. And what I have found over the last few weeks as we've been really thinking about this is if I find myself overwhelmed, really frustrated or stressed or whatever it is, if I direct my mind to Jesus intentionally, waiting for him to speak to me, that also happens in random moments, right? So like just yesterday, I had a situation arise. And I'm like, I think I'm going to go for a drive. And I went on a drive and I poured out my heart to Jesus, and I called a friend and I prayed and I listened to a song, and I just made the like the circle from my house in Chassel all the way around town and back to my house. And by the time I got home, I had heard from Jesus, and I knew what I needed to do, and I was able to do it with grace and kindness. And I think that's really a powerful thing that can happen when we choose to listen.
Yeah, it's not to impress God. It's just to have this time to be with God.
Yeah.
And I think we often don't do that enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what I found too, even in the longer moments of retreat or whatever, is that when I chose to do this a month ago, I heard from God, and he actually gave me some really beautiful words. I came away with kind of direction from him and a call to be more loud about my faith and honest, at least, and courageous in the things that I believe. And then over the next 2 weeks, God actually gave me opportunities. He heard my prayer. He had spoken to me, and he confirmed what had been spoken to me in that time. And I think it's really, really beautiful. So do we have any practical tips for what we're doing?
Yeah. I think, you know, set a timer for 10 minutes. Turn off the noise. Say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And don't worry about what happens. Just show up. Just be present. And you're going to have a little bit of a struggle if you choose to do it. But I think it's so beneficial to your spiritual health. And if you're stuck, I think we start with Psalms 46:10. And you just read that. Be still and know that I am God. Or just say that in your head. I'm still and I know that you're God. I'm still and I know that you're God.
I'm still here.
Yep.
Yep, that's your anchor.
Well, all right, friends, that is good news you can use. We just challenge you. Take some time, sit before God, just be still before him, and see what he does.
Well, thanks for tuning in with us. If you got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform. Or go to our website, evangelup.org.